It's great having the boys live with us, I got to tell you. You learn a lot of things that you didn't realize you didn't even need, knew that you needed to know, or maybe you didn't even want to know, but some of these young people are a lot more clever than we give them credit for. I have discovered that. I said clever. I didn't say smart. I said clever. He's not even listening to me anyway, but you know, yeah. He's got a little ploy in place. He likes to sit by, he says, the rich old people, see what he can get out of them. But seriously, I would like to, I sense that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, wants us to do something together as a fellowship this morning before I get started in a message is to, I don't know, because there's a sense of I'm not going to say somber spirit in the air this morning, but there was a reality of something that I sensed, and maybe I just sensed it because I was thinking it. But it's a graciousness to have the freedom to worship and worship freely in this country, and with all that went on in Pennsylvania yesterday, that was horrendous and horrific and absolutely unthinkable to go into a synagogue and shoot up innocent elderly people is just even beyond even imagination. So we don't even know what that even, we can't fathom that, but what we can do as believers is we can pray for those families and family members. So Father God, in the name of Jesus right now, by the mighty work of your Spirit, we lift up those in that area, that community at large, that what the enemy has meant for evil, that you would turn and you would be glorified for good. In Jesus' precious name, we pray for those families. We pray that you would restore them, that you would hold them, that you would wrap them. You'd grab a hold of them as your people, that you have called your people, and that you would bring them into your fold, that you would use this to bring the gospel to light in Jesus' name. We just lift them up to you. We lift up that entire community in the name of Jesus, that you sustain them, that you show up in their midst today in Jesus' name by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for joining with me in that prayer. Amen. Started I'm going to count it as a four-week message series called just simply Walking in the Spirit. Last week I talked about this walking in the Spirit, and this as we walk in the Spirit, it requires first and foremost absolute and kind of, if you will, just genuine humility. Genuine humility requires, it's a requirement to walk in the Spirit. And we came to this conclusion, if you guys were here and joining with me, that there's a real battle. In fact, the Bible refers to it as the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So therefore, they're diametrically opposed. They're against each other. And wherever the Spirit is prevalent, the flesh cannot. And wherever the flesh is prevalent, wherever the flesh is in charge, the Spirit is not. So it's really a simple concept, and yet at the same time we walk this daily, and it becomes more complicated than it is simple. But yet at the same time, I believe it to be true, as I'm wondering if walking in the Spirit is attainable for all believers. It's just a question. Is walking in the Spirit attainable for all who believe? I think that's a good answer. That's the right answer. The answer is yes. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And if we believe that's attainable for all believers, because that live by the Spirit, let's keep in step. You know, I like the way that it just says that, keep in step, because to me a keep in step is, it gets converted into what? A walk. A walk. Step by step is a walk. Hello? This isn't high school geometry or anything. It's just simple understanding of what a walk is. It's step by step. I'm wondering if we haven't made it, and just tune into this for a second, because I think it's, I'm wondering if we haven't made it such a mysterious, lofty thing that we've kind of come to this resolution that walking in the Spirit is for the elite. Or maybe even it's too difficult to understand or too difficult to attain. Hello? I'm just wondering if we haven't made that happen because we make it something that it really isn't, or we try to make it so spiritual that it's we don't feel like we can ever get there. Is anybody with me on that? I sometimes feel like that. How many of you throughout your week feel like you're walking in the Spirit, spiritual? A spiritual, devoted, Holy Spirit-filled Christian throughout your week. How much of your week do you feel like you're doing that? Any honest, part of the time? That's a good answer. I was going to say, I don't feel like it very often at all. At the same time, I feel like I know that I'm doing it because I know that I'm being obedient. So I'm like, well, how do I know I'm walking in the Spirit? Okay, so let's go forward with this. You guys with me? All right, good. This is going to be fun. I promise. I'll try to relate to every single one of us. And I said it last week, and I think it was the most. I don't know. Probably one of the best things that I said, because I didn't have it in my notes and I said it because the Holy Spirit was saying it, is that the Holy Spirit has this amazing capability of taking and speaking words through me, but more than even speaking words through me is the amazing capability of opening your ears to hear it, translate it, process it, and receive it in the Spirit to where it's saying exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you. Do you guys realize that? It's not necessarily all of my words or words that come out of my mouth. It's your ears that hear and process and receive in humility by faith that which God the Holy Spirit is speaking. That is a miraculous intervention of God's Holy Spirit in that. Hello? I think it's awesome. I think it's just like he's, you know, we have these devices that can, you know, we have friends on Facebook because everything's about Facebook, right? If it's on Facebook, it's true. just kidding. We have friends that are in foreign countries that are friends with us on Facebook, and when they post stuff or read our posts, it comes out in their language. But you could do this one little simple thing, translate, push a button. Translate, and it puts it in English. Isn't that awesome? That's really awesome. Do you guys know that works? That's like such a cool feature. I mean, I like that. That's kind of what the Holy Spirit does. As it comes out, he pushes the button, translate, and it comes into your system, your being, your ears, your spirit, and translate. And you hear it. I don't know how many times people come up to me and say something about something I said, and I'm like, I never said those words. Those words never came out of my mouth, but you heard something that the Holy Spirit said, right? Are you laughing at me or laughing at her? She's just laughing. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was laughing at me.
Yeah. Boy, that was a squirrel moment. If it was a squirrel, David's here. anyway, okay, so let's go forward today. It's attainable. Walking in the Spirit is attainable. Amen. Amen. Say yes. All right. So let's attain it. Let's do it. I came up with, I felt like the Lord just gave me these four steps. And the first step is walking, stepping forward in humility. Talked all last week about it, in what that looks like in our lives. Stepping forward in humility. Today I'd like to talk about stepping forward in faith. And the other two steps are stepping forward in holiness and stepping forward into eternity. Yeah, I know. Stepping forward in faith. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 and 8 says this, 6 through 8. I felt like there was something I was supposed to share earlier, and it left. So must not have been supposed to. So let's see if the Lord brings it up again. It says, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. If it's true that we walk by faith, not by sight, is that true? Okay, that is true. And I know that where we sometimes get, like, the wheels just don't spin, or they spin, but then we don't get traction in that, is because too many times we measure that truth up against what we live out, and we're saying, but where do I walk by faith? And so here's where we've got to come to this really, I think it's a simple conclusion, is when we align ourselves with this truth, and we are digging into it and saying, this is how I walk. I walk by faith and not by sight. I need to actually process that and come to this intentional conclusion of that walk. It's a step-by-step faith walk, not by sight. So if that's true, then there's a couple of phrases that we kind of have to scratch off our list of things that we say. That's the thing that we're constantly, Robin and I, as we've raised and trained four children of our own, and now we have the three boys, and there's things that come out of their mouth that it's like, okay, that's not a truth. So let's reprogram truth reformat truth into your thinking, into your mind, where what comes out is actually truth. Right, boys? Trevor? Were you sharing with Joey one of those moments that we've had? Okay, no, I'll just... Does he have hair in his ears too? I just went there. Just for a moment. Let's get back. Where did I leave off? I don't know where I left off. If it's... Okay, a couple of phrases. Here's one of them. Seeing is believing. Well, according to the Bible, it says we walk by faith, not by sight. But how many of us have referred to that phrase? Well, seeing is believing. Okay, here's another one that I think it's an interesting one, and I might get a little bit people might have issue with it, but it's this one. Hindsight is 20/20. I know you all said that, and you all say that a lot of times. I'm going to tell you, it's not a truth. It's not a truth. But we say it, so how do we transform? So let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Because if hindsight, if the truth is that hindsight is 20/20, then what you're relying on is what I see to perceive to be as true, what happened yesterday or just a moment ago. Then what you're actually declaring in saying hindsight is 20/20 is I saw it as it was actually, and I saw it as true. That's the problem, is sometimes we don't. We can say, well, and you may be able to say, well, yeah, but, you know, okay, you know, hindsight is 20/20. The Dodgers lost last night. We know that happened. Because the score was not in favor of them. Now, that's easy to see as that happened. Sorry, Dodger fans, but I just had to bring that up just a little bit.
At least we're in it.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. 30 years or something like that. I better. No, anyway. Yeah, see, I need to move on. Yeah. Here's the issue that I want to say that I think that we have with that I believe it's to be true, is we're relying on the things that I see to be true. So if I'm relying on what I see to be true, then the phrase that is biblical that says, I walk by faith, not by sight, where does faith fit into that? Isn't faith just very simply forward movement into trusting God's word and God, what God says to be true, and moving forward in it? So if we go to hindsight being 20/20, what am I doing? I'm looking back instead of moving forward by faith. So as a believer, we shouldn't be saying that ever at all. I don't know. I mean, maybe there's places and times, and I'm not going to be dogmatic about it. That'd be silly. But what I feel like is what we need to be in our focus, in our thinking, and to where it comes out in our speech is to walking in the Spirit by faith, is looking forward and trusting in what God says is for us and about us. It's going forward, moving forward, not looking back. Because if I look back, I look back at my failures, my faults, my mistakes. And yeah, I could be 20/20 about it, which actually isn't the best vision. Did you know that? 20/20 isn't the best vision. I think one of the best verses in the Bible is Proverbs 20:12, which I think is better vision than 20/20. Right? You guys are not following with me on that. Okay. Anatomy of the body says that if you have 20, I was one time, had my eyes checked, and they said I had 20/10 vision. That was one time, a while back. I think I'm starting to get into above 20 vision. I find myself doing this a little more every now and then. Yes, it's happening. Which they say is better than 20/20 vision. Proverbs 20:12. Oh, you guys want to know what it says? Oh, look, there it is. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Hallelujah. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Amen? We've gotten into taking the boys to school on a daily basis. We've developed a pattern of what we're doing as we go to school. And so one of the things we do is I said, okay, you gotta give me a verse from memory, a Bible verse, right off the bat. And I said, if you can't come up with one, I've got a few that I can go to. So let's go there. But Hunter, right off the bat, came up with a Bible verse. I got one. And it was great. It was Genesis 1:1. And I was like, yeah. Like, awesome. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And that was it. And he stopped there. And I said, awesome. Let's talk about it. What does it mean? And so we talked about it for the whole school, ride to the school, because it's got into a discussion of it. How did it happen? How did God do it? And of course, you guys came up with all kinds of, teenage solutions of how that came about. And I think the best one was he snapped his fingers. Yeah, so I think that was the best one. So we had this great discussion. Is that God spoke it into existence from nothing? He spoke creation into existence. So we had this excellent discussion, and this is something we've developed as a part of our school ride. Because if we don't talk, we'll sit and be quiet and half asleep anyway. What I was going with that is that there's this very real reality that each and every one of us have got to come to the conclusion that God has created all things, and all things were created by Him and for His glory. And when we come to that conclusion, we come to that very first truth. And so that very first verse of the Bible is a classic, and it's a perfect one, and it's one of the best ones that you have to come to the conclusion that in the beginning, God created. God is in charge. God has the ability, because He is God, to speak life into death, to speak existence into non-existence. And I believe that to be 100% true. And even if that very word this morning, God has the capability of speaking into your life that which is not there yet. And that is a walk in the Spirit by faith, is trusting what God is speaking into you as true, and receiving it and saying, that's for me to go forward with, and to not look back with, but to go forward with. Because if I look back, I am a sinner saved by grace. But if I go forward, I am a saint that called by God, a child of God, to do good works for His glory. Hello? Hallelujah. Amen. Whew. So let's talk about the eye that God created. Evolutionists can only come to the conclusion that the eye is this crazy concoction of a bunch of proteins that somehow fit together and we have the ability to now see. It's absolutely, it's one of the most ridiculous and astronomically impossible possibilities that's ever been concluded on the planet. And I'm not saying that to discredit science. I'm saying that to say it's impossible to have come to the conclusion that the eye itself has the capability of to have come to its amazing, amazing capabilities without a creator. There's absolutely no way that the eye itself, just the eye, they cannot figure out the eye, because God designed it. And here's what's awesome. I don't know if you guys remember back in anatomy class. You guys listen, youngsters? Okay. Youngsters, anatomy, biology. We learned that because of the shape of the lenses in our eyes, whenever we look at something, the image that we see is actually turned upside down before that image hits our retina. So this image then is translated into all these neural impulses and then transmitted along with millions of optic nerve fibers to our brains. This happens every time you see something. This happens every millisecond. Awesome. That's what I said. That means, listen, and this is a walk by faith understanding, because that means that our brains receive a picture of the world flipped on its head, upside down. But being so brilliantly designed, our brains figure out very early and very quickly that the upside down images are not the way things really are. And it learns the ability to interpret them as right side up. Just that very simple concept of what the eye, how the eye works, is awesome. But let's talk about this faith walk, though. This truth opens up for us, really, it's a wonder of how God does it and why He actually did it that way. You guys with me? He could have a whole lot of different reasons, but I believe He did it for one reason. One really prominent reason is for the purpose to humble our skeptically proud tendency to come to the conclusion that seeing is believing. I think it was a move that God intentionally designed so that we would have to learn. It's almost like a parable of faith. How does that work? Listen to this. I think, because it really comes down to this conclusion, that we've discovered that we really can't even trust what we see. We can't trust what we see. Did you realize that? It kind of whacks your brain out a little bit. Am I seeing it as it actually is? The truth is that our brains actually, they don't actually believe exactly what our eyes are reporting to us. Our eyes see things topsy-turvy from the way they really are. So our brains are forced to draw from other sources of discerning reality and make these necessary corrections to the images that our eyes send it. In other words, there's a sense in which we actually walk by faith every single moment that we see and live and walk. You're there. Did you realize that? That faith is actually genetically infused into your very processor. Hello? That's awesome. Come on, kids.
I know,
I'm so excited that I can't believe that God designed it this way perfectly for us to like Learn from it. Why do we keep screwing it all up? I don't know. That's a whole nother question. We'll talk about that next week. But this is really fantastic. You know, our brains have learned that reality is actually flip side of the way it initially sees it. So we must trust other sources of revelation and wisdom to get the true sense of what's real. Hallelujah. Without faith, it's impossible to see truth and to see what's right. Sometimes what we think we see is an inverse or distorted form of the way that things actually are. You can almost have some conversations with some people and say, where in the world are you coming up with that? You ever had that? That's been said to me a few times. And I've thought that about, like, where did you come to that conclusion? It's simply, I think, because the things get so twisted in our brains sometimes, though, how we think we see things. That's why we really can't live by seeing as believing, or even hindsight as 20/20. Instead, we have to walk by faith, not by sight. Wisdom is recognizing the truth of, I believe, this phenomenon. I still will tout as, you know, my wife Robin as being one of the most wise people I know, simply because she has this spiritual ability to see things as they actually are. And every now and then, I think I try to be like her, and she's like, just like shakes her head, like, no, that's not how it is. I'm like, oh, but I want to be wise and smart like you. And she's like, well, just be you. And I'm like, okay. You know what I'm talking about, right, brother? Yeah. That's wisdom to know that I ain't that. Amen? A little bit, yeah. Yeah. Faith is a way of seeing it accurately. Walking humbly by faith is actually a walk in the Spirit. So we have to come to simple conclusions in this walk by faith in the Spirit. And it is completely by the Holy Spirit that we come to the conclusion that the revelations that God gives us as true are truth. And they're designed, listen, the truths that God reveals to us. And you understand what the word reveal is? This is like so enlightening to me, because the word reveal, it really means to uncover, to remove the cover. So that all that God has created is good and pure and true and right. And when he created it, it was perfect. And he said, it is good. And sin came in and messed it all up, and it caused all this covering to have to take place. And then Jesus, by his glory, came in and he removed all the covers. He started ripping down walls and shredding coverings, to where when revelation comes in, and it's a revelation of the Holy Spirit that's all like tunneled through the work of Jesus, that uncovering starts happening. Revelation starts to take place. And what it's happening is, now I'm seeing it as it actually is, without all the messy coverings over top of it. Hello? And when we come to those revelations of truth, then we see it as it actually is. What God is doing is he's infusing within us that spirit of faith to walk by, to trust him. Hello? I know I said a lot of stuff, but that wasn't really all that mysterious. That wasn't all that complicated. No, it really wasn't. I really meant to just make it simple. Is revelation is where we find truth. God's word is his revealed word. And his Spirit highlights and enlightens, and his Spirit speaks to us in God's word. And when we receive God's word as pure revelation from God, that it's truth, and it is the truth, the way, the life. He is it. That we're able to see and actually have faith and walk in that faith. Hello? I still stumble in this walk. Amen. And all of us do. But there's a walk involved here. And in my stumbling, by the grace of God, He still keeps me going forward. And it's almost sometimes as though sometimes a stumble goes forward and sometimes a stumble goes backwards. But it's still a walk by faith to just continue to get up and trust Him. Don't come to a resolution that you're bound to be down. You are called to walk and walk by faith. By the Spirit. Hallelujah. We're designed to walk this way. To walk by faith. Our Creator has made Himself known in the person of Jesus. He is the embodiment of the truth that enlightens each and every one of us. And whoever believes His word walks in the light and sees it right. That's awesome. Whoever believes His word walks in the light and sees it right. Here's the thing is, I believe it and I've said it and I think that you guys all agreed it with it, so I'm gonna just keep pounding us on it. This is attainable. A walk by faith is very attainable for all of us. For all of us. And it's a simple step-by-step walk in the Spirit. So when we talk about walking in the Spirit, it's like, okay, let's not make it so complex and so unattainable and so far out and so lofty. Let's just take a step. You know, to me, a step is just a step right in front of me. I can take that step. And a step is a step in faith. Yes, did you have a question or a comment? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. That's where, I love it that you said that because I think it's so funny that there's, when I say funny, it's a little comical that, you know, there's a place where He says to be still and know that I am God. Okay. And there's a place that He tells us to rest in Him. And then He tells us to get busy and work the work that God has called you to work. And then He tells you to walk by faith. You know what He also tells you? Another place? Run the race. What am I supposed to do? How about this? All of the above. Yeah. All of the above. Rest in who you are as a child of God. You cannot be any more than a child of God. That's rest. And I'm going to tell you that's real rest. That's real rest. Hello? Because now I don't, and I get that. I get that so, because it's how do I say it in a testimonial fashion other than I didn't know who I was as a child. And the reason I didn't know who I was as a child because I didn't have any identity to a father. None whatsoever. And as soon as my life was snatched from the pit of hell, snatched from the enemy's grip by the Lord Jesus, and He claimed me as His child, I all of a sudden, at that moment, was born again, a new creation, born again, a child of God, into the loving hands of the Father, and I knew my Father. And my rest then became like, in a moment, in a flash, it became from, I don't know who I am, to, wow, I'm a child of God who I am. From actual abandonment to now adoption as somebody that is somebody. not based on anything I am or do, but based on who he is and what he did. That's rest. Hello? Hallelujah. That's real rest. And to be still in that, oh, and know that he is God, is real rest. But you guys know very well that I am never content with where I'm at because of God's spirit inside me that continuously compels me to want to glorify him even more and to reach souls, to let people know of God's love and who God is and how God has called them out of darkness and into light and has implemented a plan of redemption and salvation into their very lives. Hello? And that's good news. And that takes work and it takes effort. And I got to get dirty and I got to get grimy and I got to get busy. I don't just sit back and say, well, God, if you want somebody to come to me, do you tell me about it? Then I'll just sit here and wait. No, I look for opportunities to go and love people. And you know what? Opportunities to love people sometimes are crappy opportunities, crappy situations. Hello? Let's not beat that one up because you guys know how much I look for. Did I just say that? Look for cruddy situations to be a light and love somebody in it. And that usually means you being getting out of yourself and not being offended. You know, whether you're in the fast food line and they're just not making their food fast enough. Right? Right? Nobody's experienced that. Look for an opportunity to be a light in that. Man, it's so much fun being a Christian, isn't it? I love it. Blake and Krista, when they lead worship, man, they leave me a lot of time. But I'm going to try not to just like beat it around, but I'm going to get through it. And God the Holy Spirit, listen to this. This is awesome. This is a little illustration. I think it's fitting with what's the World Series are on. Yeah, that's I like baseball, okay? I like baseball. My wife is like, when's it going to be over? This week. Maybe. God the Holy Spirit is a perfect base coach. Let me explain this little illustration. The primary objective of your base coach, what's a base coach? Does anybody get, without me explaining it? Yeah, it tells the runner after they've made a hit or whether or not they've gotten on base, whether to go or stay to the next base. That's their objective. What's the base coach's objective? One objective. Get a run in. Man, come on, let's watch some baseball together, Billy. Yeah, you know how it works. To get you home. To get you home. Hello? The base coach is designed, his job is to get you home, or her job, to get you home. Hello? That's their job. So their job isn't to keep you safe at first so you stay there nice and cozy and safe. That's why I kind of always I'm a little bit convicted when I pray prayers of safety. I believe we should pray prayers of safety. But is that really our only objective, is to stay safe? Not entirely. No, not entirely. It's to get us home. Hello? Come on. Maybe I know moms don't like that because that's what we all pray, is pray for safety for our kids. Yeah. And I do too as a dad and as a pastor. I do. Let me, John 12, 44 and 50 says, and Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I do not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on that last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what I say and what I speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. That's interesting, isn't it? What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. The Father's commandment is, and His objective is eternal life. Get us home. Get us home. To walk by faith is simply to walk step by step in His Word. Hello? I believe that. And that's why when we trust God the Holy Spirit as our, and I know He's more than this, but like, just understand the illustration, as our base coach to direct us, to keep us moving forward, the objective to get us home, that's His objective, to keep us going. It's a walk, and it's a step-by-step walk. And yeah, there's going to be times that in our step-by-step walk, we're going to have to look at ourselves, and we're going to have to say, that's not helping me. And if I look at His Word, and I obediently, by faith, listen to His Word, read His Word, study His Word, and intentionally apply His Word, I'm going to find places in His Word that I don't like, and I'm going to have to deal with. I'm going to have to say, that's a place I got to choose. Do I choose to obey and follow His Word, or I choose to do what I feel like I should do? Hello? The faith is to obey His Word. The faith is to say His Word is true. And if His Word is true, then it's a truth that I must align myself with. And that may not be an easy thing to do. We're so excited right now. Devin finally asked Shannon to marry him. If you haven't heard, I'm sure you've heard because, you know, it's on Facebook now. So, and we're so thrilled. I'm just so blessed and thrilled that these two young people have gone throughout their lives already. Both of them are in their early 20s still. But they have committed their lives to living their life by the Word of God. They have committed their lives to walk by faith by the Spirit. They have committed their lives to not just the service of His kingdom, but even to do things obedient to His Word, which is to even keep themselves holy and pure until the day that they say, I do. And do you think that's an easy thing to do? Do you think that their flesh is not warring against their spirit? Hello? They're in their early 20s. Does anybody remember what it's like to be in your early 20s? And like a girl a lot? Or a boy a lot? That takes faith to obey the Word of God in those very moments. And it's a battle. And they've chosen to do the right thing. But see, they can only do it right by faith. They can only make that choice because it's a faith choice. It's not a flesh choice. It's not a feeling choice. It's a faith choice that causes them to make the right choice and to hold steady and to stand strong on it. And it's awesome to watch it because I believe that when we do that, when we get behind God's Word and say, God's Word, You direct me. And You're saying to the base coach, You tell me what to do. I'll obey You. You say to the Holy Spirit, I'll listen to You, Holy Spirit. I'll obey You. God gets behind you. I love this. I love this truth. When you get behind God, God does this double flip around. You get behind God, and God actually gets behind you. So guess what that makes you? Guess what that makes you? That makes you cream filling in an Oreo sandwich. I mean, you're the good stuff that God is in between. He's in front of you, and He's behind you. He's pulling you. He's pushing you. And there ain't nobody that can be against you. Ain't nothing can be against you. I know I said ain't, but there ain't nothing that can be against you when God is for you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Eric, you said earlier, wherever the Spirit is in charge, mm-hmm. the flesh is not.
Amen. And that's so true. So when we, and it's sometimes it's so simple that we like, it is simple. Just walk by faith. And man, it's warm in here. His written word, His spoken word, His revealed word. Amen? Let's end it up there. And next week I'm going to talk about walking in the Spirit. What was it? No, holiness. Last week was humility. Stepping forward in holiness. Yeah, stepping forward in holiness. Hey, and here's a little weekly test. weekly. Actually, it's not a test. No. We don't have tests here. Just think about. There's something I wanted you to ponder for next week. Please, this is an interesting one, as I've pondered it like all week and even weeks before. The prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, which is we call it the Lord's Prayer, which is, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Did I skip something? I did. I know I did. But this very thing that he tells us to pray, and I'm wondering how much of us never pray it. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Just think about that prayer that he says to pray that we a lot of times miss. Lead me not into temptation. And I believe the reason we don't pray it is because we don't understand what he's saying in that. And we haven't learned to align ourselves with that very part of a prayer. And I want to, and I'm so excited because I believe it's going to, when we align ourselves with that part of the prayer, I believe it's not unattainable. Did I just say a double negative? I believe it is attainable. Hello? It's attainable to be led not into temptation by faith, humbly in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your love for us this morning. We thank you for your calling on our lives, each and every one of us, to humbly, by faith, serve you, walk in the Spirit. And we ask in Jesus' name that you continue to grow us, continue to compel us, pull us, push us, nudge us, lovingly guide us. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your Spirit that is alive and so welcome here in this place and in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given us life. Hallelujah. For your glory, amen. Amen.